The short story, The Party. We had lived in the corridor about a month when Maggie announced that we had been invited to a party at Marlon Hamilton's house. Hamilton, we discovered, was a 55-year-old divorced automotive engineer who had moved to the inner city the year before. We were told that he prided himself on being quite a ladies' man and was living the life he always wanted to live. I was also told by a neighbor that he was quietly buying up old apartment buildings in the neighborhood because he believed that the corridor was soon to become the next in neighborhood. We arrived at the party just in time to hear someone shout, "Larry, you're a slut." We walked through the open front doorway as a red-headed woman in her late 20s with gigantic breasts and too much makeup was assailing Larry Murphy. "You've slept with almost every woman in this room." Larry objected, but she ignored him and continued. "Okay, everyone who slept with Larry, raise your hands." And sure enough, four or five women raised their hands. Larry dropped his head as if he was a small boy being scolded by his mother. "Hell, Larry, I'd be proud of it. Hold your head up high, boy. That's a hell of an accomplishment." The man who came to Larry's defense was Marlon Hamilton. The redhead shouted, "We didn't say he was good. We only said he was easy." Hamilton interrupted, "You mean it wasn't all in one night? Christ, Larry, I thought you were a long ball hitter. You should hang your head." We had now officially met Marlon Hamilton, but I felt I knew him. I've known lots of Marlon Hamiltons. He then turned to us and said, "This must be Maggie." He took my wife's hand and kissed it. "Who's this guy you're with?" Maggie pulled her hand back and said, "He's my husband, and he killed the last guy who did that." Oh, Christ, another woman who loves her husband. Oh, well, I guess we'll just have to be friends. Maggie had a way of letting her Italian attitude show when she deemed it necessary. Actually, she was never one of those women who demanded that I fight for her honor. She genuinely believed that a woman should and can control situations that could easily get out of control. "So, Doug, I understand that you have something to do with advertising," as Hamilton turned his attention to me. "I'm a creative director," I answered. "Well, all I know about advertising is that when business is good, it's a trend, and when business is bad, it's advertising's fault." Then he bellowed. I laughed with him because he was right. "Hell, circulate and meet some of your neighbors. The booze and the food is on the second floor, and the dope, that's on the third." Then he laughed again. We made our way to the second floor and helped ourselves to some wine. I turned to look around the room and came face to face with a black woman of striking beauty. "You're Douglas Eckman," she said in her radio-type voice. "And you're Phoebe Murphy," I said. Phoebe was Larry Murphy's former wife and current best friend. "Where's that beautiful wife of yours I've been hearing so much about?" "She was just here a second ago," I replied casually. "I understand you've met my ex-husband," she said, smiling. "Well, sort of," I mumbled. "Hmm, you smell good. What is that?" Polo," I responded rather sheepishly. The thought then crossed my mind that maybe Polo was a little too suburban for this neighborhood. She smiled and said, "Larry's never been concerned about smelling good. But don't be embarrassed. We need more men like you down here. Don't go away. I want you to meet someone." She then turned and disappeared into the crowd. I looked around the room and spied my wife in the corner talking to a tall, balding man in his early 60s. I moved through the crowd and made it over to where they were standing. As I approached them, I heard him say, "I think she's a lesbian. What do you think?" Maggie smiled and begged off. "What do you think?" he said, turning to me. "Enos, this is my husband, Douglas." Maggie always called me Douglas when talking to others. He nervously rubbed his forehead with his right hand and held a water glass full of what appeared to be whiskey in the left hand. "Hello, my name is Brown, Enos Brown. So you're married to this gorgeous woman." He moved his right hand down from his forehead and reached out to shake my hand. He then turned to Maggie and stared at her for some time without shaking my hand as he began to rub his forehead again. "Yes, she is beautiful," he muttered to himself, just loud enough for me to hear. He turned to me and said, "So, is she a lesbian? What do you think?" "Maggie? Is Maggie a lesbian?" I asked. "No, no, no, not Maggie. The lawyer. The lawyer," he said as if he was annoyed with my inability to follow his thought pattern. "Over there, the one with the blonde bun, Laura Weinberg. I'm sure she's a dyke. What do you think?" "Enos, I have no idea," I responded. He stared at me and returned to rubbing his forehead with his free hand. "I've never seen her with a man," he announced. He then walked away. "Well, how do you like your neighbors?" I turned to see Larry Murphy holding two beer mugs filled to the brim and topped with foam. I smiled and turned to Maggie. "You remember Larry, the slut?" "Don't believe all that stuff, Maggie," Larry protested. He was wearing his basic blue bib overalls, but now he added a new red flannel shirt. Larry was a handsome man, but seemed to do whatever he could to disguise the fact. His black wavy hair was combed straight back with strands of silver glistening through it. His smile was broad and endearing in spite of his gold dental work. He was the first white man I'd ever met to have his front teeth trimmed in gold. But then again, I was beginning to appreciate Larry Murphy's unpredictable nature. Unpredictable, but as I soon learned, always trustworthy. Larry would become a good friend. "Your wife's a good-looking woman, Douglas," he announced to me with a smile. By this time, I was starting to wonder whether attractive women were in the minority in the corridor. "I'd like to say thanks, but I had nothing to do with it." "Tell her," I responded. His smile grew even broader and then announced, "I will, if you don't mind." "Should I mind?" I asked without smiling. "After all, I'm Larry the Slut." Then he laughed out loud. "What's so funny?" It was Maggie rejoining our conversation. "Larry wants to tell you something," I said, grabbing her empty glass and leaving the two to chat while I went for a couple more wines. "Leaving your wife with a man who's about to tell her how beautiful she is may not be the smartest thing for a husband to do. However, I moved to the makeshift bar in the corner. It was an oak door balanced on two wooden carpenter's horses. I soon found out that Marlon Hamilton made everything out of old oak doors, including his bed headboards, coffee tables, and wall panels. I was about to pour two wines when a familiar voice distracted me. "Hi, neighbor." It was Morris Crispin's. He was dressed in severely pressed khaki pants that had a military-issue look about them, and a matching khaki shirt. His hair and beard were both neatly combed, and his smile was genuine. "Boy, the neighborhood is getting real classy now that all you folks are here." "You should have been here in the old days," he said, stroking his beard and looking as if he knew the real story. "Here we go again," I thought. "More stories about all of the bodies being carried out of my house." "Oh, Morris, you're going to scare these white folks right out of here if you keep talking like that." It was Phoebe Murphy, and she was a welcome sight. "I'm just trying to educate them so they can protect themselves," Morris declared. "But I'd love to protect you, Phoebe. Just say the word. Morris, you're not rich enough, handsome enough, or black enough to spend any time with this woman," she shot back. Morris just let out one of those hearty laughs of his and attempted to give Phoebe a hug. She pulled away and declared, "I was crazy enough to marry one white man. If I ever do it again, it certainly won't be anyone as poor as you are." "You're just afraid I'd make you a happy woman, Phoebe, and everyone knows, well, at least every man knows, that women can't stand being happy for any length of time," declared Morris. "What makes you such an authority on women? Seems to me that I heard a story or two about your failures, if you know what I mean." Morris then laughed and said, "Don't believe everything you hear, Phoebe. Just believing half of what I heard about you, Morris, is enough to keep me as far away from you as possible. Morris then turned to us as Phoebe walked away and said, "She wouldn't talk like that unless she really cared. I just have to be patient." We just both nodded and smiled.